Evangel of John, chapter 8, 31 and 32, says, "So Yahshua was saying to those Jews who had believed him, 'If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.'" Michael Crichton, the author of The Andromeda Strain, Timeline, The Great Train Robbery, State of Fear, and others, was the speaker at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco on September 15, 2003. He was asked what he considered to be the most important challenge facing mankind. His answer, and I quote, "The greatest challenge facing mankind is the challenge of distinguishing reality from fantasy, truth from propaganda. Perceiving the truth has always been a challenge to mankind, but in the information age, it takes on a special urgency and importance," end quote. Millions of Americans during this presidential political season have viewed debates. These debates center around how good one candidate is compared to another, or how bad the guy is based on past performance, poor performance, or no performance. There are always statistics and examples, perhaps a poignant story to make a point. The candidates wave around percentages and dollar figures and always have some sort of basis for their version of the facts to be correct. Each candidate, of course, spins his own circumstance to convince the voting public that they are the right person for the job. Who is the voting public to believe? Some claim to be able to create jobs, control the economy, and solve all the problems of life. Others claim they can give you your heart's desire and take care of you like a loving mother. One voter may see a clear choice in the candidates, and another voter sees only various shades of gray. But they all look sort of the same. Now, this brings up another point that Crichton made at his talk. He said, "We must decide daily whether the threats we face are real, whether the solutions we are offered will do any good, whether the problems we're told exist are in fact real problems or non-problems. Every one of us has a sense of the world, and we all know that this sense is in part given to us by what people and society tell us, in part generated by our emotional state, which we project outward, and in part by our genuine perception of reality. In short, our struggle to determine what is true is the struggle to decide which of our perceptions are genuine and which are false because they are handed down or sold to us or generated by our own hopes or fears," end quote. Or, as a cynical career politician named Pontius Pilate once asked of Yahshua, "What is truth?" in John 18:38. This man had spent his entire life climbing up through the maze of Roman politics. As governor of Judea, he had also spent years mastering the politics and pitfalls of the politics and religion of Judea. He knew how this world worked, how his world worked. Each political party, each religious sect had their own version of the truth. Who could know the truth? Pilate simply knew that this man was no rebel. He could not separate the truth in this foreign Jewish matter and resigned himself to go along with the politics of it. He knew that in our world, what is perceived to be true is often more important than what is actually true. I guess Crichton's warning was intended for us in these perilous times, but has been true for millennia. How do we determine truth? Our problem is more difficult than that of Pilate, because we have a flood of information to cipher through in order to determine what is fact and what is fantasy. 10 years ago, there was a suggestion that one Sunday New York Times contained more information than the average medieval villager would receive in a lifetime. Of course, officials in the Middle Ages would have received a little bit more, but not much. But now, the information of the ages is available at your fingertips in real time. So much information, so much discernment. Well, the prophet said, knowledge will increase. I want to share with you something here. This information age that we have, we can do things that were only dreamt of years ago. We can reach out. We can find out what's going on in every corner of the world. And we can also be deceived. Several years ago, I was looking at an online auction site, and there was a deal on there to buy some gold coins, and the price was unimaginably low. So I thought, well, this could work out. So I reached out and I put a bid on this product, and about 4 weeks later, I received this very nice box from China. It's a very, very nice box. The cardboard folds down in front. And there's a wooden box inside that's hinged with magnetic closures on it. And there were two golden coins inside. Two 1 ounce gold pandas. I looked at that and I thought, gee, this was amazing. And you know, something just didn't seem right to me. It just didn't seem like I paid a fair value at that time for what I received. So I decided to do some investigation. I went back online and I looked and I looked and I was looking for characteristics of counterfeit golden pandas. And I couldn't decide on my own if these were real or counterfeit. Well, I said, okay, I'll go to the places where they market and they deal in these things. So I went to local pawn shops. I went to 3 pawn shops. I presented them with this box, and I asked them, Are they genuine? The first pawn shop that I went to said, well, can we examine them? And I said, sure, take them out, examine them, do whatever you need. They looked at them, under the little loop, and they even took them in the back room and performed what they called an acid test on them. They came back out and they said, yes, they're genuine. So I took it to two more pawn shops, and these pawn shops confirmed that these coins from China were genuine. And I still had an uneasy feeling. I took this box to a coin dealer. I handed it to him. He opened it up. He pulled one out and immediately said, these are fake. And I said, how do you know? And he says, I can tell by the dimension, just by holding it. He's held so many of them that he knew it was too big. Then he put it on a scale. And he said, it's 1/10 of an ounce too heavy. Well, in the world of gold, you don't give away 1/10 of an ounce. And he said, there is gold on them. There is value to it. But unless you do a deep scratch on the surface, that will pass an acid test. So the level of deception that was involved here was very great. And the chances that these coins would have been received as genuine was very great. But they were indeed fake. And it took somebody that knew what they were looking for to make that determination. By the way, there was an insurance through the website that I bought them off of. They told me to send them back to China and I would get my money back. I sent them back to China. As soon as delivery was attempted, the online site paid me back my money, but delivery was refused. And 6 weeks later, I got them back from China. So now I can use them to demonstrate a point. Wow. So, but you see, even with all of the advances in information technology and communication, human nature is still the same as it was in the time of Yeshua. Dishonesty and trickery is present now, just as it was in Pilate's time. And discerning the truth, just as difficult. Just as Pilate had to discern the facts in the case that the Jews brought against Yeshua, we have to determine in a myriad of circumstances what is truth. And what is it that is marketing, propaganda, spin, disinformation, hyperbole? It goes on and on. We must ferret out the motives, discover the fallacies, and consider probabilities and potentialities. None of these things are easy to do. But some of us have become proficient in doing these things, due to being constantly forced to make such evaluations. But you see, there are two good reasons why we may be better equipped than others to discern the truth. The first reason is we have access to Torah. Torah shows us the way that things should be. And it gives us a balance to measure all of those decisions against. Secondly, we have the help of the Ruach HaKodesh. You know, there was something in my mind that kept telling me that that deal that I thought I had made just wasn't right. And I didn't want to deceive anybody else by passing it on as a genuine article. You know, Yeshua tells us in John 8:31-32 that the truth will make us free. This is an extremely significant statement. This statement links Torah with truth. This is where we find how to measure truth, what yardstick is to be used to determine the truth. Torah provides guidelines to live truth, day by day. Torah, given by Yahweh to mankind, gives us the foundational truths that do not change, providing us a starting point of discernment and a great deal more. This allows us to cut through the static and grasp the heart of an issue or a comment or a claim, making the determination of truth or error easier. Moreover, if we're living the truth, we have experience to know what works and what doesn't, giving us a further edge. Finally, a deep understanding of truth allows us the freedom to choose what we believe and what to reject. In terms of discerning truth, Yahweh gives us an awesome gift in the Ruach HaKodesh, which John 14:7 calls the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. Later in that Passover message, Yahshua instructs the disciples that the Ruach will guide you into all truth. That's John 16:13. Most specifically, he implies truth, those deep things of Yahweh that Shaul writes about in 1 Corinthians 2:10-16. Let's read 1 Corinthians 2:10-16. For to us, Elohim revealed them through the Ruach. For the Ruach searches all things, even the depths of Elohim. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the Ruach of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of Elohim no one knows except the Spirit, the Ruach of Elohim. Now we have received not the Ruach of the world, but the Ruach who is from Elohim, so that we may know the things freely given to us by Elohim, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Ruach, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Ruach Elohim, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of Yahweh, that he will instruct him. But we have the mind of Messiah. These spiritual truths do not exist in a vacuum. They reach out into every area of life, shining a light on what is real and exposing what is false. The task of discerning the truth in these confusing times is before us. We can be thankful that Yahweh has given us the tools to meet the challenge and to overcome it. Hallelujah.